Welcome to Monday Morning Moments, a weekly podcast dedicated to helping you make the most of the moments in your life. I'm your host, Mike Van Hooser. Today, we're going to be talking about employee engagement, and I hope you had a great weekend. And, you know, on this podcast, we talk about themes across sports, business, and life. And the themes are usually around leadership, around performance, around productivity, and around teamwork. And today, we're going to focus on employee engagement. You could apply this in a sports context as well. We'll be primarily focusing on a business context, but any team, any organization that you're leading, you have to engage employees, and they have to be engaged in that process. And I think a lot of times when we've followed the Gallup research for years and the research they've done around employee engagement, and a lot of people in businesses, especially when we talk about consulting around employee engagement and talent development and leadership development, some leaders just shake their heads and say, well, employees should be engaged. You know, we're paying them to come to work. But I think, you know, this has always been an issue, and it's not a generational thing. It's not just with millennials or others. I think engaging employees to try to put them in positions to be successful and to make an impact and to accomplish goals and to grow in their careers and to accomplish the business goals that you're trying to accomplish has always been important. And there have been just different generations of that, different styles of that. But I think now it's important more than ever that employee engagement is a topic area and a focus area as well. And the research is staggering that Gallup has done. They estimate that about 85% of employees are not engaged or actively disengaged at work. They classify three categories of employee engagement. Those, you know, 15% in their recent studies that are actively engaged. The middle ground is usually those that are not engaged, and then they have some that are actively disengaged at work. And the actively disengaged are actually working in some form or fashion against the organization to accomplish its goals. And they put 85% in the surveys they've done in those latter two categories of either being not engaged or actively disengaged. And I think it's really important as leaders that we focus on how do we engage employees. And, you know, may do another talk just on employees you need to engage as well. It's a two-way street, and it's not just all on the leaders or managers of an organization. If somebody's working in an organization, they're not engaged, then they need to either step up or step out, I think, and find another opportunity that's going to really be in line with their strengths and passions. But I think it's important if you're spending time and investing time at a place or on a mission of some kind, that you're engaged in that process. Some other research that Gallup has done, they say employees who work for highly engaged managers or leaders are 59% more likely to be engaged themselves. And when we talk about leaders being engaged and the importance that you have in companies that where there's this disengagement that's going on, the economic consequences of it are approximately $7 trillion in lost productivity in unison, in mass, across organizations. And if 70% of that number can be attributed to managers, and the research they've done that 70% of engagement is going to hinge on, you know, managers and who they work for, then one of the opportunities is to have highly engaged managers and leaders who work and develop the talent of their organizations and the talent of their people and are actively engaged in that process. And we do that a lot in the consulting and coaching and workshops that we do around leadership development and talent development. In his book, Drive, The Surprising Truth About What Motivates Us, Daniel Pink identified three key motivations, and this applies to life and business and goals and just for individuals. And the three key motivations that we have that he identified were autonomy, mastery, and purpose. Autonomy, mastery, and purpose. Yet you rarely hear that mentioned by leaders or by organizations, either in job descriptions or in performance management feedback forms or anything like that, that, hey, we want to really drive towards autonomy, mastery, and purpose. And yet, if those are what are really driving people in their work and in their life, as you recruit and develop and deploy key individuals in your organization, you want to tap into those drives. And those are not necessarily bad things. I think if we think about autonomy, it's not just necessarily independence and working alone. Autonomy can mean a lot of things. And we want to discuss a few things on the podcast of five key things, I think, as a leader that would help you engage your employees better. And that's what I want you to get out of this today. But I want you to be thinking about those motivations, autonomy, mastery, and purpose. And if you've got you're in a position of leadership or influence, either at home or at work or whatever, how can you tap into those motivations and lead people in a way that'll help them be more highly engaged in whatever you're trying to accomplish? So I'm going to offer five things that I think are important in employee engagement, specifically as it relates to leaders. And this is not an exhaustive list, and we don't have time to go into detail on each one, but I want to offer some tips and maybe some techniques around each of these. So the first thing, if you're leading employees, you're leading a team and you want to engage them more, you need to discover who they are. Discover who they are. And you may think, well, that's simple enough, or I don't want to do that. I don't want to know who they are. I just want them to do the work. But I think we live in a culture today that's a better culture of collaboration and people bringing all of their strengths together, not living separate lives and doing one thing outside of work and another inside of work. We want people to bring strengths to their work. I remember working on a project, and we were working on a team, and then did some work for a nonprofit, and actually did a service project. And I saw this person bring just such creativity and innovation and leadership and passion and joy to the service project we were doing. And then we went back to our project and the work setting, and she didn't bring that same passion and energy and innovation to that because she felt like she had to, you know, act a certain way and do a certain thing and, not bring creativity into the things we're doing, just do it the way somebody had said. You know, it was more about control and living under a leader who was more controlling in that and just kind of do it the way it's always been done. And one of the things we had a conversation about was really encouraging her to bring that same level of leadership and passion and creativity and innovation to what we were doing and how that could provide the best product for the client and really help us to innovate as well. And so I think it's important, again, that we know who's working for us. And when I've led teams, I want to discover who they are. You know, what are their strengths? What do they feel like their strengths are? What are their passions? Who are they? What do they do outside of work? That's really important because I think if you know somebody's maybe a Ironman triathlete outside of work, well, resiliency and mental toughness is probably one of their key traits to be able to do that. Discipline to train. And how can you leverage some of those key characteristics that they're using to complete an Ironman triathlon into the work setting and what you're doing and to really engage them in that process? A couple of key skills I think that are important in this discovering who they are is listening and giving feedback. So listening and giving feedback lead to performance and growth. Listening and giving feedback lead to performance and growth. And if you know that as a leader and an influencer or manager of people, then you're going to listen more to your people and you're going to give them feedback along the way because that's going to lead to their best performances and it's going to lead to them growing in their career. And both individual performance, team performance, and also organizational performance in accomplishing the strategy and the goals of what you're trying to accomplish. So we need to know who's working for us and what their strengths and passions and what drives them. And everybody's going to be different. I think we assume that everybody's motivated by the same things, but especially today with different generations in the workforce, people are motivated by different things. So it doesn't just come back to money or promotion or a nice office. It comes to different things for different people. And we, as leaders, need to know who's working with us and how can we tap into their key motivations to help them accomplish their best. The second thing that I think is important as a leader is regarding engaging employees is knowing their dreams and goals. Knowing their dreams and goals. What do they want to accomplish? As a leader, I think it's easy to come into a position and say, well, this is what we're trying to accomplish on this project, or this is what we do here at this company, and you just need to get on board with that. And that's more of the old style of leadership. That's more of a controlling type of leadership, a command and control type leadership. But being able to know the dreams and goals of your people is really important, because you know what you're trying to accomplish or what the organization is trying to accomplish, but do you know what they're trying to accomplish in their careers? And in many companies, managers and leaders don't know the dreams and goals of their people. And I think that's the first step to engaging employees and getting the best out of them when you want the best for them. And somebody once said that, a friend of mine used to say that all the time, is that if the best companies, they want the best for their people and from their people. And sometimes organizations just want the best from their people, but don't necessarily care about the best for their people. And I have found in working with organizations and companies and some of our best clients that in those organizations where they want the best for the people, they're going to get the best from the people. So how can you do that by knowing the dreams and goals of their people? For high-performing companies, leaders are really in tune with this. They know what both their organization and their individuals are wanting to accomplish, and they work to connect the dots. So as a leader, you're going to know, hopefully know, what your organization is trying to accomplish. If you're leading an organization, you're going to know what that strategy is. You've had a hand in developing that. But do you also know what your individuals are wanting to accomplish? And how can you connect the dots between the two? I think there's some key things as a leader underneath this one regarding knowing the dreams and goals. You know, what are the, if I've got somebody working for me as a leader, do I know when they want to be promoted or what their promotion dream looks like? You know, what are they trying to accomplish? Everybody may not be wanting to, you know, get to the next level or whatever. They may just want to grow in their role that they have right now. Or, you know, it may be down the line that they want to think about that. But in terms of promotion, do you know their dreams and goals? What about opportunities? Do you know what opportunities they want to achieve? And how can you help facilitate that? Do you know what their purpose is and how they're connecting the job that they have to having an impact and tying it into their life calling or their purpose? And I think that's really important. If you know somebody's purpose in life, then you're able to accomplish how or communicate how that role is going to help accomplish that purpose. Do you know their dreams and goals around growth? How do they want to grow? How can you help grow them? Do you know what their goals are as far as impactful roles? Again, I think more and more people, especially coming off the college campus, and we do a lot of work with high school and college students, they want impactful roles. They want to grow in their career. So as a leader, if I know that, the purpose and growth and impactful roles are really important, how can I establish that? And I think when we hear impactful roles, we think, well, they're not going to get that opportunity, you know, just coming out of school. They've got to grow into it. Well, that's fine, but there are opportunities, I think, that we can put them in that can help them, you know, make an impact from day one. And, you know, we want to do that. We want to make sure that if you're recruiting somebody, that you can deploy them to make an impact as soon as possible. And I think people want that when they join an organization as well. So how can you connect the dots around that? And what does the person that's working for you consider an impactful role? And then how can you put them into that spot? The most glamorous roles may not be the most impactful roles that they think they are. And so what you think is an impactful role may be different to them, and you can leverage their strengths differently in a different way. Connection and community is another one in knowing the dreams of goals, I think, of your people, that they want to be connected and they want to have a sense of community. And so for many people coming into today's workforce, a sense of connection and a sense of community is important. And talking to your people about that and how they want to be communicated with, how they want a sense of community within the team and with you as the leader as well. And the final one under knowing dreams and goals, I think, is a lot of people want both individualization and collaboration. You may think those are polar opposites, but I think people today want to have an individual impact, a recognition factor of, you know, contributing something specific and unique based on their strengths and passions, but that is also tied into collaboration. It's individuals bringing their best to form a great team and to collaborate well on, you know, an impactful outcome. And so if you can tap into that and be able to foster that and know, you know, what is their sense of individualization and how they want to make a unique impact and what do they consider the best collaboration ideas and community, then you can facilitate that as a leader and help to make that happen. So the first two, and engaging employees, discovering who they are, knowing their dreams and goals. A third opportunity and area for leaders to engage employees is to create a role agreement. And we developed this back when I was working at Accenture in consulting, and really found it to be great for our project teams and what we did. And I was involved in developing that with a team of people. And I think once you discover who the people are that are working for you and you know their dreams and goals, creating a role agreement helps to formalize that commitment to their development. And you can do this. We had a form that we eventually developed, and people would do that as they would roll into projects and complete that. But you can do it informally as well. And if you're rolling somebody onto a project or they're coming into a new role, you can outline some of the expectations that you have. There may be a job description tied to the job, or there may be just maybe going from project to project. There are different roles that they're going to play, or servicing a client in a certain way. But given that, having an opportunity for what they want to accomplish at this point in time in their career and having a dialogue about that is very important. And that's what the role agreement was all about. Here's what we're trying to accomplish, and here's our expectations for you, and here's how we're going to be successful if you accomplish these things. And then asking the question, what do you want to accomplish? Given the context of the role that you're going to play, what are the things you can contribute to that? How do you want to grow through this role? What do you think, what are some things around promotion and opportunity and those impactful roles that you want to try to get exposure to that I can set you up for success? In doing this, I had a lot of people say, well, I haven't gotten experience in, developing a work plan or having more client interaction or things like that. And in the context of getting things done, I made note of that, and we created a role agreement to try to help them have more client interaction, maybe lead in a part of the meeting. Maybe they weren't leading the whole meeting, but they could lead out in certain areas that they were responsible for, and it gave them more client interaction and an opportunity to step up in that way. Or maybe there were some teaching opportunities. If they weren't getting exposure to developing a work plan for a project, that I could not only, just manage the task of what they were doing in the work plan, but also teach them and share with them how I did the work plan or certain parts of the work plan that they had not gotten exposure to. So that opens up a great opportunity for you as a leader to teach and to help them develop in their role and in their career. A fourth area of engaging employees is being a connoisseur of talent. And I first heard Tom Peters talk about this when he was writing a bunch of books, and I was highly impacted by a lot of the things he did around creating wow organizations and the pursuit of excellence in certain organizations as well. And he often talked about leaders as being great general managers, a great GM of a team, a sports team, as a connoisseur of talent. And he used this that leaders should be great connoisseurs of talent, that they identify the strengths of people. And so as a leader, are you identifying the strengths of your people? Do you know what that is? And are you looking for that within your organization to develop a team together? Are you then deploying them into roles that allow them to accomplish both the organizational goals and unleash their talent? So obviously, when you put a team together or you're leading a team, there are goals that you have to accomplish or there are outcomes that you have to achieve. But are you putting their people, based on their strengths, into the best roles that's going to allow you to achieve the goals and allow them to unleash their talent? And that's what a connoisseur of talent does. They're aware of it. They sense it. They know where to put people in certain spots and allow them to shine, but also make the best impact for you and for the organization and for the team and for themselves as well. Another thing under being a connoisseur of talent is stewarding the opportunity. Steward the opportunity. And what I mean by that is that you have this person for a certain point in time. It may be 6 months if you're working on project-related work. It might be for 3 or 4 years, 5 years until they get promoted into another role. It may be only 2 years because they move on to a different opportunity based on stage of life or other reasons. But how can you steward the opportunity that you have to lead this person and to grow them and to be the best leader that you can be to help them engage in the process. And I think as a leader, you've been given people that you lead for a reason. So for each of those people, I think the key question is, how are you stewarding the opportunity to lead out and to influence and impact this person during this season of life? You may move on to a different opportunity as well, so you may only have that team for a while. So I think it's just important about asking that. What do you want to accomplish in this role as a leader, and how do you engage them in the process? And then one last thing, under being a connoisseur of talent, as true connoisseurs of talent, great leaders in this area, launch their employees forward and make succession planning a part of the process. So they're growing them, they're stewarding that opportunity in order to launch them forward. Now, some, based on their own career goals, may want to stay in that role, stay in whatever area they're in. But if you have an outlook of somebody who wants to continue to grow and get more opportunities and maybe different opportunities, as a leader, you can't control them and you know, hold on to that. You've got to launch them forward and think about what's going to help them to grow to the next level, either in title, or position, role, different area of the company. But how? What is this mindset of launching them forward, and how can you do that to teach them all that you can, to put them in the best positions, to have all the experience they need, and then make succession planning a part of that process? So if you're launching your people forward, you're also growing people into those opportunities to take on new responsibility. And I'm in a role now on a board where I'm in charge of a committee, or been in charge of a committee for the last 3 or 4 years. And it's all about succession planning and board membership and who's going to take on the different committee chairs and become the officer the next year. And we talk a lot about succession planning and how are you grooming, you know, the next chair of your committee and making that a part of the process. Because I think most of the time, we're focused on, whether it's a nonprofit or for-profit, on getting the work done, which is important. But we've also got to think about the next stage and how can we bring on people to the team and then grow them as a part of the process and then put them in positions of leadership past that as well. The final thing I wanted to talk about regarding engaging employees is the fifth thing, and it's being a developer of talent. A great leader who can engage employees is a developer of talent, and a little bit different than a connoisseur of talent. I mentioned the things that were underneath that, but under being a developer of talent, I think there are four things that are important: listen, teach, release, and reaffirm. First of all, listening. I think when you think about leadership, a lot of times we think about speaking and how leaders are very vocal, but I think great leaders listen well. And when you listen, you can understand the drive and the motivation of your employees, and you can be a better developer of talent if you're listening to the things that are both said and not said, and you can tell when they're really in great roles and they're performing with passion and they're unleashing their strengths, and then opportunities where they're not, to be able to counsel them, coach them, help understand, you know, what might be happening in a certain situation and put them in positions of success. So listening is a key part of being a great developer of talent. In fact, it's the starting point. Once you listen well, I think teaching is the next piece of that. So great leaders are great teachers. And if you're a developer of talent, you're going to be teaching. You're not just going to be telling, or worse, yelling. You're going to be teaching as a part of the process. And so many leaders lack the skill of doing this, being able to teach. They get promoted based on their ability to do things, but we're long past the days of a great leader knowing how to do everything. We're in such a complex economy and things are being innovated so long that you need a team of people to come up with the best ideas. And I think great leaders listen well for those. They teach and share that information and allow others to take those ideas further. But a lot of leaders don't have the patience to teach, and I think they stay at an individual contributor level because they can't teach and share some of the lessons learned that they've learned, and I think teaching is a key piece of this. So how can you develop a teachable point of view around things that you've done and then share that with other people? And that truly helps people to develop, and you can't just assume that they know how to do something. You've got to make sure that teaching is a part of the process. The release piece is releasing responsibility and authority. So great developers of talent release responsibility and authority. They release the people to go do the work. They don't micromanage. They don't hover over them. They release them in an environment that's safe and maybe somewhat risky at times, but it's not going to cause the organization any kind of financial hardship or put them at risk. It's just an opportunity for somebody to spread their wings, to grow, to get out there and learn, to fail, and then to succeed and learn from failure. And so releasing responsibility and authority is really important. And it's releasing that person to go do the job. If you've hired them to do a job, then your role as a leader is to facilitate that well and then get out of the way and allow them to do that, providing the right direction, coaching, and guidance along the way. And then the last piece of that, reaffirming, is to come behind and reaffirm. Here, you're doing this really well, or here's some things that you ought to think about doing better, or some things that I think I can help you with, or asking questions in that reaffirming phase to say, help me understand, your process of doing this, or let me share with you this principle. And I think that's really important. And it's not just the constructive feedback on reaffirming. It's reaffirming what they're doing well so they know it. There are some leaders that think, well, I paid them today, so they must know they're doing a good job. And if anything changes, they won't get a paycheck. Well, that's not reaffirming. But if somebody asks a great question of a customer or comes up with a great process of doing something else, you need to reaffirm them in that and say, that was great when you developed that new process that saved us, this amount of money, or I shared that with another team and now they're using it across three or four, areas of the business, and reaffirming them both privately and publicly. And I think that's really important, that not only do you reaffirm them and help them to understand what they're doing right, but to do that publicly so that they get credit for that and they're encouraged in the process as well. So five things to engage employees better: discover who they are, know their dreams and goals, create a role agreement, be a connoisseur of talent, and be a developer of talent, all with the goal of playing your part in taking responsibility as a leader to engage your employees, to help them to become more engaged. And I think that's the goal. And you can only do what you can do. You may have employees that never become engaged. But as long as you as a leader do everything you can to engage employees and help them to find their purpose and do meaningful and impactful work with the opportunity that you're giving them, then that's what you can take control of. And that's how you can be a better leader in everything that you do and in all aspects of life as well. So go out, lead well today, engage your employees, and be engaged yourself. Again, if you're engaged, and highly engaged managers, 59% more people are likely to be engaged if their manager or leader is highly engaged. So be present. Be passionate about what you're doing and find purpose in your work and your role as a leader. And I think people will follow along and they'll be engaged as well.